And have you ever had a feeling that all of Shea Stadium is populated by nothing but Archie Bunkers and little Archie Bunkers? I mean, only a little Archie Bunker would print a big sign that says, Fairlawn, New Jersey loves Ed Cranepool. Now that, friends, is the true sentiment of Archie Bunker right there. And nevertheless, have you noticed the sad decline of the quality of the signs at Shea Stadium? Oh, yes, yes. Back in the early 60s when the Mets first got underway, spectacularly and hilariously for about three seasons there, when the Mets really were the real Mets, you know, Rod Caniel, Hot Rod Caniel, all those great guys. Yeah, they really were. The signs had beautiful, cutting, ironic humor. I mean, real literary quality. And now the classic sign, you know, is 2 8-year-old kids walking around with their plastic batting helmets that they got at the Getty Station, walking around holding up a bed sheet that says, Hackensack loves the Mets. And, you know, that's just so sad. It's fallen into toadyism. And now if one kid would stand up, three kids would stand up with a great big sign that says, East Fairlawn hates the Mets, I would feel that there's a little life left out there. You know, that would have a little... Oh, you don't see that? Of course you do. I knew you would. After I explained it, I knew you'd get it. So, I just... some of the great signs. How many of you... Let's put this to a test out here, speaking of trivia fans. And now hold it there now, baby. Now listen to what's going to be said. Get your thing out. All set? How many of you people, you know, who watched the Mets back in the days when, you know, they were really the Mets? Remember when, who was the outfielder who hit 35 home runs for the Mets? The year they scored 37 runs. he hit 35 home runs. Willie Joe Namath? No. He doesn't play that game. That's another game he plays. Who was it? All right, I'll tell you. It was Frank Thomas, right? Okay, now here's the question. They had this great aggregation, see? And the signs began to pop up very shortly after the Mets began to play. I remember I was out at the Polo Grounds, you know, and the first couple of signs broke out in the left field bleachers. And, you know, and they were beautiful, cutting, sardonic signs. There was a different kind of guy who went to the Mets in those days. They were all almost subterranean protesters. There's a whole different thing. Now, you never saw such a group of joiners out there. You know, there's always a big thing on the signboard. It says, the Mets welcome the East Jipip Rotary Club and cigar makers. And they're all out there, you know, with their funny hats and blowing their horns. The big thing says, we love the Mets. Well, that's a whole different ball game, you know. And I would like to ask any of you out there Let's just see what kind of an American you are, what kind of a New Yorker you are. How many of you remember those great signs? You remember the signs? Okay. I want any of you who actually remember specific signs to call in, and let's hear what your favorite sign was that appeared out at Shea or at the Polo Grounds before the Fairlawn, New Jersey loves the Mets crowd took over. You know, that crowd joined the Mets following, by the way, shortly before and after they won the pennant. Before that, it was all... That's right. I remember... Oh, that was a great sign. Lee, hold it up there for a minute. Yeah, I remember that sign. It was a great sign. They held a big sign out there. It says, Jesus saves, not McGraw. Now, of course, that was kind of a late one. That was... Because Tug McGraw, you know, is a contemporary ball player with the Mets. But that was a pretty good one. I remember one guy, for example, all of a sudden he popped it out, one of those fantastic plays that the Mets would make, you know, like Rod Caniel would come in and catch it on the Adam's apple, see, and he'd make a fantastic dive for it, and because his eyes were bad, he dove for the bag instead of the ball. You know, he grabs the bag, tries to throw it over to the first baseman. Who was the first baseman? Of course, Marvelous Marv. And what was worse, Marvelous Marv tried to catch it, you know, that kind of thing, seeing the runners all the way around the third. Well, some guy just whipped out a sign, just out of the blue. He held his sign up, and all it was a gigantic exclamation mark. That's all he lowered it. And you know, his timing was perfect. It was right after this fantastic thing. And then, of course, then that started a whole sequence of punctuation signs. Like, for example, the PA system says, PA system used to always come out and says, "And now, pitching for the Mets, number 26, Aloysius J. Zimbowski." When I repeat, "Now pitching for the Mets, number 26, Aloysius J. Zimbowski." Somebody held up a great big question mark. Who was Aloysius J. Zimbowski? They had these guys who would come up for about 5 minutes, you know, they'd go down again. Yeah, did somebody just call that up? Yeah, there's another great Met sign of that period. Some guy held this one up one day, and it's an unforgettable sign. It was just a sign that simply says, give me a little echo chamber. How long? How long? And all those guys, of course, are now gone. They're that crowd, as soon as the great horde of 8-year-old Bat Day fans started to arrive, you know, in the Lindsey Nelson crowd, they quickly weeded themselves out. You know, it's just about a matter of attrition, you know. There are certain people who cannot follow anything that wins. They can't, you know. I wonder how many people, you know, great McGovern fans are today. You know, the same crowd tends to follow guys like that. I'm just curious how many of them would get really mad if McGovern actually won. Oh, within 2 weeks, they'd be, you know, writing angry cartoons into The Voice. "You think you sold out." But anybody else? Come on, let's hear some of those great slogans. Are you the only one in there? Come on, let's hear some of them. Come on, get out. Or are there just the Johnny-come-lately Met fans out there, you know, Hackensack loves the Mets types? You know, it's a sad crew. There used to be, as a matter of fact, one of my favorite ones they used to pop up back of first base, and they used to heckle Marv Throneberry all the time with signs. And for example, one guy held up a sign one day. I'm out there. It says, "Please, Marv, catch it. My mother's back here." You know, he wanted to get hit with the ball. Of course, the Mets had a sense of humor about it themselves. They had to. I remember one day when Throneberry was being interviewed on the field, on TV, you know, and they were asking him about this, and he says, "Well," he said, I can't tell you why I'm so popular out here, but I sure don't mind it." Incidentally, he's a much maligned ball player. His record is much greater than his reputation. He was a good ball player, actually. But he's like, Marv Throneberry was like Sonny Tufts. Sonny Tufts wasn't a bad actor, but everybody got into the habit of saying, "Sonny who?" Or they'd say, "Sonny Tufts?" It just drove him right out of the business, you know? That's literally what happened to Throneberry. Come on, Lee, hold it up there. Let's see what some of those great... Yeah, here comes some great signs. Yeah, that was another famous line. Another famous... now, you see, that's way beyond... That's too literary for the contemporary Met crowd. Much too literary. That was a famous one. Somebody held up a sign one day, and it had, you know, it had that kind of Christian forbearance and that Christian perseverance to it. You know, it's kind of the story of the Western man. He just held up a sign that says... Endure. It's got such simple grace and purity. And of course, the timing of a sign is great. How many of you remember the great night? It was a hot night, just like tonight. You might remember her, the great night. What Met pitcher had lost 21 straight games? I mean, 21 straight games. That's a lot of games for a guy to pitch in, much less lose. He lost 21 straight games. And I remember the night that he on his 22nd game, it looked like he was going to take another pacing, you know. And here he was laboring away out there. And late in the ninth inning, one of his fellow Mets caught a hold of a fastball on the high outside corner, you know. And he must have hit it with his eyes closed. And hit it right out of the park. And he won the ball game. And the entire crowd, this was at, you know, this was out at the Polo Grounds. The entire stands, Millions of people were out there because the guy had lost 21 straight games, you know. And there was a tremendous roar, and it was like the World Series. And everybody poured out on the field. What was the name of the pitcher? Who was the pitcher who did that? Well, now I'm not going to repeat the whole story. If you were in there talking to your friend and discussing parakeets, you missed the story. No, Jay Hook, no. Jay Hook was not a man of distinction. This is a man of distinction. It takes a man with style to lose 21 straight games. Jay Hook didn't have that talent. No, I mean it. Who was it? Who was it? Why? This is a milestone in modern baseball. 21 straight defeats. That is correct. And all right, now I'll ask you a question. Who was that? And now, even a harder question, who was the guy that hit the home run that broke his fantastic losing streak? And I'll give you a clue. The guy that hit the home run is still active, but not playing on the Mets. He's very active, in fact. Who was it? Fantastic moment. Well, of course, this kind of adversity. See, out of true adversity comes humor. Humor does not come out of affluence. There's never been... no way. There's never been... no great comic was born a rich man. No way. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That was a famous one. Indeed, that became a watchword out at the Shea Stadium. That was another one. Of course, you see, that was a different one. That was a cry. That was a cry in the dark. That sign that was held up that the historic day when it first appeared at Shea Stadium. A cry for mercy. And all the sign simply said was, help. That's all. They hold it out there. You don't see that kind of stuff out of Shea. You know, nothing but those kids lumping around, those little fat kids, all a bunch of little fat kids. They go out there to get on TV, and, Daddy, I want to get on television, take me out to the Mets. And they sweep around, yelling, you know. And immediately the kids hold up their sign, Fairlawn, New Jersey, loves the Mets. Well, no wonder the Mets are a lackluster crowd these days, you know. Somebody has to raise a sign telling the truth about Ed Crane Pull. You know, somebody, yes. That was a beauty. Yes, indeed. You want to hear another one? This is a great one. This is the kind of sardonic humor that only can come out of, a series where the Mets have dropped seven straight and only scored two runs and made an average of 17.9 errors per game. The famous one that, it kind of says it for so many moments at Shea or at the Polar Grounds. It says, help, somebody hold up, help. And then they would bring in another pitcher. And he'd be out there a couple of minutes, throwing in those slow, easy, fat curveballs. And someone would hold up a sign that says, this pitcher will self-destruct in two innings. Which was quite true. Now, quick, now, who is the guy that did this? I don't know why this is not a baseball show. But after all, you know, it's a hot summer night. Why not, you know? Another great moment in that period. What's that, Lee? All right, we're getting another great slogan. Nobody identified the pitcher, right? All right. No, it was not Jay Hook. What pitcher? I'll ask you another question. All right. Stop yelling in there. I know. Yes. Oh, I remember that one. Yes. Yes, that was about 2 weeks after Crane Pool joined the Mets. I wish somebody'd start whipping that one out again. 2 weeks after he joined the Mets, somebody held up a big sign. Is Eddie Crane Pool over the hill? Of course, he was pushing a cool 18 at the time, and he's been an elderly gentleman ever since he joined the Mets. A curious type guy, but. I'll ask you another question. Wait, we're getting all this information here. Just a minute. Here's more information. Why did you bring this in here? Huh? You did what? I don't know. wonder why she brought this in. You just have to hold it up. I can read it. But there was another great moment out there, which is a kind of historical moment for those of you who cherish historical moments. At that time, the Mets, of course, when they went around and they got all these cast-off ball players when they were put together, they got a whole crew of guys that had just, made their big thing by winning three games on some college ball club. So they had a whole bunch of guys who were very theoretical ball players, but not actually practical ball players. For example, what relief pitcher did they have? He started out with him as a starting pitcher, but that went down the drain very fast when they realized that he was good for about two outs at the beginning of a game, and after that it was, you better wear a steel helmet out in the outfield. Who was the pitcher? He became a very short relief man, if you know what I mean. If you had the last guy up in the ninth, see, and you had two strikes on him, you brought this guy in, hoping he would get his strike in. He was good for about two or three strikes over the plate in any one given inning. Now, who is this pitcher? He was from Yale. Yeah, that's right. I remember that was another great Met sign. In fact, that was a sign that really said so much. It says, we don't want to set the world on fire. We just want to finish ninth. Well, of course, it's a 10-team league, and to rise to ninth was a fantastic thing when you when you had Hot Rod Knieel out there and a few others, those goodies. Yes, I remember this one. Choo-choo, if you ever took up tiddlywinks, it'd be dangerous. Choo-choo who? Who was Choo-choo? That's right. And what number was Choo-choo Coleman? Well, I remember Choo-choo Coleman's number very much. He was always hopping up and down in front of the TV camera. You couldn't miss it. He was number 17, in case you're interested in that kind of trivia. And while we're talking about trivia, we have another General Tire ding-dong here. It's a suggestion to see your local General Tire specialist for his great pre-Labor Day buy on famous General Jet white wall tires. They're very exciting tires, and I'd like to repeat that they have them in this popular size, which everybody really, really loves. It's just a wonderful size, 650 by 13 tubeless. And, you just go out there and ask for that one and join the crowd. That's a lovely tire. And you look for the big red General Tire G, you see. That's where they sell these General Tire, General Jet white wall tires. And I'd like to suggest that if you're going to do it in Elizabeth, see Chet Mount or Tom Steele of the General Tire Service, 400 Rawway Avenue in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Yeah. Now, all right. Who hit the ball that saved Roger Craig? That's right. Ken McKenzie went to Yale. Ken McKenzie, I always felt a real affinity for Ken because Ken McKenzie was the kind of relief pitcher that I always liked to see come in the game when I was playing baseball. He had glasses and he looked nervous when he'd come out there. You just love to bat against a guy like that. You just pull your helmet down, and you kick a little dirt over the plate and look mad. And you knew you'd get that slow, easy curve. And then he'd pull his head back, see, because he was always getting hit by line drives. He'd pull his head down between his shoulder, pow, that kind of pitch, you see. And the pitcher, they also had another pitcher who was a graduate electrical engineer. Did you know that one, see? And he was always sitting in the dugout calculating the actual mathematical dynamics of a curveball. Yeah, he figured out all the tension and the forces that made a curveball. And somebody pointed out it would be kind of great if he could, translate it into reality. It's not enough to just make a curveball in a graph. You got to throw it. Who was that pitcher? He was the graduate electrical engineer. See, they had guys like that, which it was kind of a great ball club. I mean, when you stop to think about it, the great comedy team. And it's in the earliest days. How many of you do feel, though, that, these signs they keep holding up, so-and-so loves the Mets, it's kind of cloying. It reminds me of those pillows, and the heart-shaped mother and all. Yes, I've done them, honey. What? I did the choo-choo. Oh, you want to speak on the air? All right, we'll give you your show. Yes, what was that? Which Met player's nickname was Chalky? Oh, Chalky, that's Andy Capp's buddy. Chalky, yeah. No, I don't know whose nickname was Chalky. I don't know that. Yes, I knew you would. That's very exciting. I don't know. What Met? Wasn't a Met? I see. What Met ball player's nickname? We'll ask the slobs out there. You know, all the Archie Bunkers listening. What Met nickname? Who's the Met whose nickname was Chalky? Chalky. You mean Lindsey Nelson used to call him Chalky on the air? Huh? He did, huh? Chalky. No, I don't remember Chalky. He must have been up for a cup of coffee, maybe even a half a cup. Chalky. I didn't intend to do a show on baseball tonight, but this isn't really a show on baseball. Very good. Very good. This is not a show on baseball. It's a show on the decline and fall of a whole structure. I would say that the Mets' high point, the actual high point of the Mets came, I would say, roughly about, I would say the year that Frank Thomas got into a fist fight back of the screen with two sports writers. You remember that? He finally then hit Frank Robinson, of all people. And it was one of the really exciting moments of the Mets. And so, friends, we have once again traced the decline and fall of our time. Once again, we've examined the slowly accumulating hints that the path on the destruction of the empire is clearly laid out. As Julius Caesar said so well, and how many of you can certainly not forget it? Julius Caesar said, if you've been born to hang, you ain't never going to drown. And he said that. Of course, they stabbed him in the gizzards, you know, so he's not much of a criterion on that. And so, friends, this has been brought to you by the Guinea Pig Liberation League of America. And, you know, don't let them get you down. Join the crowd. And we'd like to also salute the new rising organization, which has been growing, the SPLAT. It's growing great. You're listening to the president and the founder. Yes, there is a tide in the affairs of men that, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. That, incidentally, is a quote from an obscure New Jersey poet, Ellsworth R. Russer. Ellsworth R. Leonard. Or is it B? Or is it M or an N? That's the kind of writing you have, honey. And so, send up another rocket, mother. And don't give up until he comes home. The raft will float forever, baby. It's just a problem, of course, is hanging on to it. So good night, Roger Craig, wherever you are. Good night, Alias Chacon. Good night. Oh, yes. This is WOR New York, and you stay tuned for Lester Smith in the news.